This Faith and Finance podcast is underwritten in part by Timothy Plan. Good news. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering a family of funds that honor your faith. Learn more at timothyplan.com. The Bible contains many accounts of God providing miraculously for his people, but none are more fascinating than the story of the widow's oil. I am Rob West. That passage is found in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. It's just seven verses, but they're loaded with teaching about God's provision. Sharon Apps joins us today to unpack the story of the widow's oil and how we can apply it to our lives today. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's definitely one of the highlights of the month when Sharon Epp stops by. Sharon is president of Kingdom Advisors and a frequent contributor to Faith Fi. And Sharon, great to have you here.
Always love to be here.
Sharon, I know you've broken down the story of the widow's oil basically into God's part and the widow's part, but I'd love to start today by just reading these passages from Scripture.
Oh, I love hearing God's word read.
Let's do it. So we're going into 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "The servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Wow, that's a powerful portion of Scripture. Sharon, I know we're going to unpack this. Why don't we start with God's part in this story?
Well, this is my favorite probably story on God's part and our part because it becomes so, so clear. Yeah. God's part in this story was he was the provider of the oil. She had no way to get oil. And he also provided the buyers to purchase the oil to pay off the debt. And so you see that she literally was totally relying on God for her increase, for her supply that she needed to meet her family needs.
She was totally dependent upon God. Yeah, that is very clear. What else can you take away from this?
Well, I think that it's easy to think God doesn't do miracles like that today. And yet there's some key lessons on the widow's part too, because she didn't just sit still and wait for God to pour the oil into her hands. First of all, she asked for help from Elisha in the first place.
Yeah.
She then obeyed the instructions. She gathered the jars, poured the oil, and sold the oil. So even though God's our provider, she had a huge part to play in gathering what he gave to her. And I think that's so important. And when we start to think about God's role and our role in our lives, we see that although he could just pour out what we need, he expects us to participate. And yet the flip side's true too. We don't earn it on our own. It comes from him.
What a wonderful picture of God's provision. And to your point, our role in that. Now, there's something in particular you and I talked about just a moment ago, and that was what we see in verse 3.
I love verse 3 because Elisha said, "Go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars." And he said, "Don't ask for just a few." And so do you realize that the one factor that seemed to limit the oil that was given to the widow was how many jars she collected?
Yeah.
He seemed to tie the amount of oil that would be given to the number of vessels she collected. The number of empty jars she collected could be seen as a physical manifestation of her faith.
That is incredible. And I love how it says right there, when there was not a jar left, the oil stopped flowing at that point.
It did. Not too much or too little.
Yeah. God always provides just the right amount. Well, Sharon, we're just getting started here. We've talked about God's part in this. You've touched on our part, but we want to continue to unpack this today as we talk about this powerful passage from God's word found in 2 Kings 4. It's the widow's oil. What can you take away and apply to your wise and faithful stewardship of God's resources with total dependence and trust in Him? Sharon Epps here today. She's president of Kingdom Advisors. We'll continue to unpack the story of the widow's oil just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stick around. Faith and Finance is a listener-supported program, and right now I'm excited to announce that your gift to FaithFi will go twice as far. Thanks to generous donors, every donation made before December 31st will be matched dollar for dollar. That means your gift goes twice as far to help families manage God's money, God's way, and treasure what truly lasts. But the match ends soon, so consider joining us. Visit faithfi.com/give today.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm so thankful you're joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. With me today, Sharon Epps, frequent contributor and president of Kingdom Advisors. We're talking about one of Sharon's favorite passages in Scripture. You may know it well. It's the story of the widow's oil found in 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. And Sharon, we talked about how this is such a beautiful illustration, picture of God's part and our part in stewardship. But let's begin to drill down. What principles can we glean from the steps taken by the widow in this story?
Well, first of all, I'd like to mention something that I alluded to earlier, and that is God doesn't work the same miracle in all of our lives. However, the same God is at work. And I think that's why we can safely take some of these principles and apply them to our lives. So there's just a few. Wow. In fact, I'd love to hear others that people come up with. But one that's very obvious to me is God provides. And of course, we mentioned that. But I think sometimes we gloss over that and don't really recognize and understand that He even provides the energy we have to go to work. So we certainly are reliant on Him. I think the other part is our job, and our job is faithfulness to His instruction. And I think in today's society, sometimes it's easy to dismiss our part in all of this, be frustrated with our jobs if they're not perfect, or perhaps if they're slow coming and we are looking for a job, but realize that God calls us to be faithful with whatever He's called us to do right now. I think the third thing that might not be quite as obvious, but the importance of seeking counsel. This widow literally was destitute. She had no money, no job, and she reached out to the prophet for help. And we need to do that as well. When we're in a place that we are having a hard time, seeking counsel and help from others is one of the ways that God takes care of us. And then finally, and this one comes from perhaps the man before he died, and that is, don't bet on the future. I am sure that the widow was just overwhelmed by the debt that he left. And so as you think about your financial planning and what the steps that you're taking, be sure and consider what could happen if God called you home and you left your spouse with debt, because I think that's a big piece to this, is how she got there in the first place.
Wow. Just seven verses and so much there that we can learn from and apply to our financial lives. And Sharon, I can't help but think that this has to be an encouragement to somebody listening to our voices today that's in that desperate situation that this widow was.
Well, let's think about maybe the top five or six things to do.
Okay.
First of all, rely on God. Look to him for guidance rather than your own abilities. Yeah. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a tough situation, a lot of times I just start thinking about what can I do? What can I do?
Yes.
And looking to him and saying, what can you do? Secondly, seek wise counsel. We mentioned that, but the importance of finding fellow believers that can encourage you on your journey and perhaps give you alternatives you've never thought of before. Third, do your part. I just can't emphasize enough, whatever he has put in front of you for today, whether it's going to a job that's not your favorite job, whether it is making a phone call to ask for a connection or a referral if you're looking for a job, all of those things are things that God uses to develop his plan in your life. And then this one's fun for me. Involve your family. I don't know if you notice, but the widow involved her sons in filling the jars oil.
Yeah.
And I think often we kind of leave the kids out because we don't want them to be burdened by our situation. And yet it actually bonds the family together and they get to see the miracle of God's provision when you involve them in the process. Then borrowing can potentially leave my family in trouble if I die or lose my income. That's just an important thing to remember as you're evaluating currently where you are financially. And then what I always love to say is, what do you already have that God might use to meet others' needs? So that's flipping it a bit. Maybe you're not the one that's in need, but do you have jars? Do you have jars that a neighbor might use to fulfill what God has for them in their lives?
Oh, wow. That is so rich. And there is so much there. We could spend hours unpacking all of this. Sharon, one thing that jumps out at me as we think about this idea of God being our provider, everything coming from him. You know, we've been talking a lot lately about the parable of the rich fool in the New Testament. And, you know, right there in that passage, we see this rich fool saying, look what I did by the work of my hands. And it strikes me how clear the distinction is between seeing God as our provider and thinking that we do everything in our own efforts.
Oh, absolutely. And somehow it really relieves the burden when I realize God's role in it all and my role. And I find so often I try to take on God's role if I don't specifically call it out.
Yeah, that's good. Sharon, I want to talk about the wise counsel piece of this for a moment, because clearly this applies to somebody in a desperate financial situation where they just don't know how they're going to pay their next bill. There can be folks out there listening today in an equally desperate situation that have an abundance.
Yes.
Maybe they're concerned about the wealth being passed to the next generation, and it could lead them or propel them away from God. And so it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm lacking in resources and I can still need that wise counsel.
Oh, there's so many things that we just talked about that applies exactly there. For one thing, you may be the neighbor with the jars. And so as you're thinking about that burden of your wealth, think about where your jars need to go. Perhaps some of them go to your children, but I bet there's other people in need that you could share them with as well.
Oh, wow, that's good. Now, Sharon, we mentioned that you're president of Kingdom Advisors, and whenever I think of wise counsel, I think of Kingdom Advisors. So why don't we take just a moment and talk about the importance of seeking wise counsel that can align with your values as a believer?
Absolutely. So when we certify a Kingdom Advisor, it means that that person has been through rigorous standards to know how to apply God's financial teaching into your financial decision making. And they can help walk you through your biblical worldview so that your decisions can align with that. That's why we so firmly believe in the Certified Kingdom Advisor, why we mention them so much on Faith and Finance.
And you can go to findacka.com to find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area. That's findacka.com. Let's tie a bow on this, Sharon, and maybe finish with that last point, which I know is a topic that you absolutely love, and that is look at what we already have and see how we can use it to meet the needs of others. And that's generosity, which is one of God's big ideas as it relates to our stewardship.
I'm just amazed at how many times God has already placed in our hands what we can give to others, and we may have just categorized it a little differently. And so when I'm speaking with people who have a heart for generosity, I ask them to do a personal inventory first and look in not only their bank accounts, but their assets. I mean, oftentimes people have a second home they're not using. In fact, we heard that story just last week of someone that sold a second home because they didn't need it and they had a heart for giving to others.
Oh, that's great. Well, Sharon, I'm so thankful for your time today, your insights into this passage. I'm confident this has been an encouragement to folks and given them practical instruction on how they can take this and apply it to their financial lives. Thanks for stopping by.
So glad to be here.
Folks, the reminder today, God provides. Our job is faithfulness to his instruction. Seek wise counsel and help from others, and don't bet on the future. I hope this passage from 2 Kings has been an encouragement to you today. That's Sharon Epps, president of Kingdom Advisors. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be tackling your financial questions today on any financial topic, helping you apply God's word to those decisions and choices. The number to call, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, biblical wisdom for your financial journey.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Well, the show is yours today. We'd love to take your calls on anything financial. So what's on your mind? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. We'd love to get your question in the mix today. So whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, here's our promise to you to be hopeful, to be expert, because we look to God's word for our wisdom. And so we want to give you practical advice, but we also want to be reverent as we approach the scriptures, really understanding that it is the counsel of God's word that is the source of truth. So let's pull out those principles and apply them to the practical decisions and choices you're making today in whatever aspect of your financial life you're thinking about. Perhaps it's staying on budget and building a spending plan. Maybe it's your long-term investments. Maybe it's getting that credit score up or paying off credit card debt once and for all. Maybe you're struggling with where the real estate market is and whether you should refinance or whether this is a time to buy a house. Perhaps it's giving. Any of those topics and more in play today. Again, the number to call, 800-525-7000. We have lines open and you can call right now. Sherman in North Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, Rob, thank you for taking my questions.
Of course.
My mother just sold a piece of property, and she's going to be coming to a sum of money after taxes are paid of about $250,000. And she's 83 years old, and we don't really know what to do with the money. My thought process is I'm looking for long-term care. And where do I stick it to in case I need it in 10 years or in case I need it in 10 days? I don't know where to put it. I was thinking. So anyway, I just want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, great. You know, the priority here, of course, is safety, liquidity, and then simplicity while still earning a reasonable return. And I think that's at the heart of your question. So, you know, really the first option would be high yield savings. I mean, this is the best for check access and safety, either privately or FDIC insured. Pays a much better rate than a normal bank. You can link it, or she can link it to her checking account. You've got easy transfers, easy access, no risk to the principal. So, you know, if you want or she wants physical checks on it, she could keep a small checking account and essentially pull money from the savings as needed, and this keeps the funds safe and liquid. I think the second option would be a money market deposit account at a bank or a money market fund at a brokerage. The bank money market account is going to also have that FDIC insurance and often allow check writing. And again, good for seniors who want simplicity. The rate will be decent, but not the highest. The brokerage money market fund is going to give you a little bit higher yield, very liquid, allow some check writing, but not FDIC insured, although extremely conservative and I would say widely used for cash holdings. Either one is a great parking place, you know, for $250,000. The third option maybe is short-term CDs that are laddered, where you put them in 6-month or 12-month CDs and $50,000 or $100,000, and it improves the interest while keeping everything safe as long as it comes due, you know, at a regular interval, so you can get access to it. So those would be the options I would consider, and maybe the pros and cons of each.
Okay. All right. Well, look, thank you for answering my question. I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sherman. We appreciate your call, sir. Let's see, Joliet, Illinois. Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Rob, for taking my call. I appreciate your ministry. Quick question. We have a Sallie Mae $10,000 school loan. It doesn't seem like it's a 10% interest. Doesn't seem like we're chipping away at the principal very much. Is there an alternative or two where you could refinance that Sallie Mae student loan that would give you a better interest rate?
Yeah. So this is a Sallie Mae, which would be private. So you don't have the federal protections, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think that does open up some options there, because the Sallie Mae loans, they used to service the federal loans years ago, but today they really are the private education loans. So these are not federal student loans. So that means, you know, you definitely have the refinancing option. So I would check the reputable private lenders. What you're probably going to find is it's just not quite time for you to refinance. You would want to wait until you could save. You would get something. If you're at 10 now, I'd want you to be, you know, somewhere in the 5% to 8% range. But I would check with SoFi, S-O-F-I, Earnest, Laurel Road, Lending Club, Discover has student loans. I mean, you could go out there online and really just see who has the best rates right now. And ultimately, it's going to come down to credit score, income, debt-to-income ratio, and whether you know you want a fixed or a variable rate. But at the end of the day, you know, you can absolutely refinance a 10% private Sallie Mae loan, and I would just shop around and compare rates. And, you know, if you could save a couple of points, I think that'd absolutely be worth it.
Okay, so, but we're still looking at maybe a little bit more time than to get to those rates, or think SoFi or somebody is already offering a better deal?
You know, I think you could do better than 10%. The question is whether you want to go ahead with it right now or whether you want to wait. But yeah, I mean, you could, I mean, rates right now, if you're at 10, I'm seeing rates right now. If you have excellent credit, good income and stable employment, I mean, you could qualify for something in the 5% to 8% range right now. And I think that would be absolutely worth it.
Okay. I appreciate your help.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. You know, as we head toward the end of the broadcast, let me just mention, because this is such an important time for us here at year end, the invitation for you to join us as a supporter of Faith and Finance. This broadcast is brought to you each day by FaithFi as a result of your giving. It's listener supported, which means we only do what we do because of your assistance. And right now, here at the end of the year, it's a great time to think about joining us and supporting this work to equip God's people to manage God's money God's way, because every gift is doubled between now and December 31st. Also, every gift of any amount will ensure that we're able to send you a copy of my new devotional, Our Ultimate Treasure, when it comes out in January. So if you would head to faithfi.com/give, that's faithfi.com/give, your donation will be matched and that doubles your impact. You can also track along with us. Our goal is $175,000. Between now and December 31st, you'll be able to watch the tracker and see how we're doing. But if you love the program, you've been helped by it, maybe you've been able to apply something you've learned, we'd love to have you jump on board, and we'd love to send you a copy of that new resource. So faithfi.com/give is the place to go. My amazing team today, Taylor, Tahira, Josh, Dan, and Jim, plus everybody here at FaithFi. Hope you have a great day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Faith and Finance is provided by FaithFi and listeners like you.